Hi there. What's going on? Oh, okay. So you're just gonna head home? What time are we done, Sneaky Dragon? Well, we haven't started yet, so
Hour and a half.
probably finished about 7. Then I'd like to get something to eat. Okay. Sure, that's fine. It's Main and Kingsway and Broadway. Okay. Yeah. Okay, that'll work. Yep. All right. All right. Well, just text me when you get here, dear. Okay. All right. Bye. As much as I appreciate it, being read the bus schedule over the phone.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
And this is Sneaky Dragon, but you probably knew that because it says that on whatever you clicked. You can't randomly stumble upon a podcast. You don't turn the dial and then all of a sudden, what's this podcast? I wish they'd say the name of it so I know. No, you completely know what it, unless perhaps you've dropped your phone and your screen is cracked. And now you're not sure, and you've just hit play
randomly,
and then this has come up. If so, I've now contradicted myself. Sorry about that, everybody. Hi, welcome to Sneaky Dragon. What you might, of course, you'd also know the number. That would be up there, too. All this information is pointless. Anyway, for your edification, it's 270, episode 270, which David and I both don't believe is true.
seems high.
We couldn't have talked for that long.
Yes.
Look, listen, we're two little dwarves, and I don't mean that in the way people are dwarves in real life. I mean as in your Snow Whites, your Tolkien dwarves.
Yeah.
And every week we go into the mines of our childhoods and we dig up trauma and we bring out bags of diamonds
that
all have the word mother written on them. And then we
don't do that every episode.
And then we present them to you. Do you think we don't talk about our childhood every episode?
No, we talk about our childhood every
episode. There we go. So we've gone into that mine. Okay, sometimes we go into the silver.
I don't think it's
silver,
all traumatic.
Sometimes we go into the gold. Sometimes we go into the silver. Sometimes we're digging for oil. But we're always in that mine.
Yes.
So that's where it is. And I'm just surprised that after 270 episodes, that mine ain't dry. Like, you think by that point, we've worked through all our issues.
It's dry.
We're now completely stable. We're completely sane. There's no reason we would ever go to therapists. We've really got our shit together. We've worked through all our issues. And we should be able to, like, retire at 300 and just go, done. Everything's fine.
Yeah.
Nah. That's not true at all.
It's not going to happen.
No. That mind goes deep.
I don't think you can talk your way out of those sort of things anyway.
No, I'm just amazed that there's that much stuff that we keep pulling out.
Yeah.
I don't think we repeat as much as I think we repeat.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just surprising.
We do every once in a while, but yeah.
270 episodes, though, you've got to.
You have to.
Not that I'm complaining.
Yeah.
By the way,
recycling.
Speaking of complaining, we were complaining a little bit last week. Oh, I was, maybe, about the Westender and the old thing about, you know, what was the best podcast, local podcast in Vancouver?
Yeah.
And they did not put up one because there was not enough interest.
Not enough interest.
The same way all the other media in Vancouver did not have enough interest.
Yeah.
So, but then I was thinking to myself, because they have not put up anyone new, that means it still holds over from last year.
Yes.
So we still are tied for number three with a podcast that is not a podcast.
And apparently, one of our listeners, Ken, wrote in to our website and left a message, and he said that he tried to go in and because I guess it's still available to vote, or this is before, I don't know.
It was
he didn't give me a timeline,
right?
But he said it was a real rigmarole.
It is.
So maybe it's on them. It's not on us. Because I was thinking that, you know, Vancouver Media, short for Vancouver Mediocrity, but apparently not. It's just, they are the ones. They've put up a wall.
Listen, Dave.
And they want our listeners to climb the wall. And what's the point?
Here's the other thing about it. Now, again, Dave, am I bitter? Hell yeah, I'm bitter. No. No, it didn't bug me either way. We did not have like a big rating surge last time when we got mentioned in the paper. So here's what I think it is. It
doesn't matter where you get mentioned. There's no rating surge.
Oh, is that right?
No, it's true.
No rating surge at all.
No.
Okay. Well, there we go. So we can say anything we want. Then the hell with all of you is what I say. Let's see if that happens. No, wait, no.
I think word of mouth is the most efficient.
I agree with that.
Or being on another podcast.
Yeah.
Those are the two things that seem to cause a bump.
Mm-hmm.
But like any mention, like the mention in the NME and the mention in Fast Company.
To be fair, those were mentions for a podcast that no longer exists.
It does exist, though. People can still listen to it, and it caused no appreciable climb in listening.
Let me ask you this, David, though, on that, and then I'll get back to my first point. Those actual articles were from months back. Have you checked months back and saw if there was any spike then?
No, there hasn't. There's been no. It's just always a steady kind of climb.
Well, here's another question then. With the steady kind of climb, perhaps there would have been a decline, and that kept it to a steady climb.
It's possible, but it seems to have been this sort of steadily climbing ever since we did those shows.
Oh, okay.
They just go up.
Why are we doing this one then? It seems like that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
This is more fun, though.
You know what? We invested all our money in Mr. Pibb, and it's our Coca-Cola empire that's doing well. But then we went, we're going to let that run dry.
We're going to let that stop it.
Nope. Mr. Pibb's where it's at. So, okay. And nothing wrong with Mr. Pibb. If you've tried it, it's fine. On a hot day, a little over ice.
Delicious. Is it a cola?
It's in a cola family.
I thought it was like a Dr. Pepper.
I don't think it's got caffeine.
Isn't it Dr. Pepper?
It's sort of Dr. Pepper a little bit. Yeah. It's sort of Dr. Pepper.
It's like... he's like,
but he never finished
medical school.
That's right.
So it's but not
Dave,
quite as good.
Dave.
Yeah.
He knocked up his girlfriend. He couldn't finish medical school. And Dr. Pepper, that's great. You know why? Because Dr. Pepper had an abortion. And so he got to go to medical school.
He insisted that Mrs. Pepper have an abortion.
That's right.
So he could finish medical school.
So he could finish medical school and become a doctor. So don't go slamming Mr. Pip. Now, I'm not saying Dr. Pepper and Mrs. Pepper didn't have the right to do that. But let's not get on our high horse, Dr. Pepper.
He's a bit of a sociopath.
Oh, he's weird.
But they make good doctors.
Yeah, you don't want that. Yeah, we saw that on House. So here's...
Really? I saw that in Rockford Files.
Oh, okay. Well,
he wasn't a doctor. He was some sort of assistant helping in a hospital.
Sounds like you're much older than me from your references. Mine are more modern, except for Mr. Pibb. I don't even know if that still exists.
It does.
Okay, good. Modern reference with a Mr. Pibb. So here's the thing with that. Now, the West Ender does their what's the best blankety blanks in the city, but also the Georgia Strait, which is another local paper.
You can swear. You don't have to say blankety blanks.
I'm going to say
Remember, we have to keep our explicit rating.
But
fresh.
All right. I'm talking about actual blanks.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were cussing.
And you're like, these are nice things. I wonder what the reason for all this is. And then you realize, you see when the actual paper comes out, they call the places like, hey, you know what? You're number one in this. Oh, am I? Well, that's fantastic, says the best bakery in town.
Do they call you?
They contact them. And here's how you know they must contact them.
Yeah.
Probably email. But here's how you know. Because they always have a big ad in the paper that reveals who's number one.
Oh.
Not coincidentally, it was lucky that we put an ad in the paper saying that we were the number one bakery. They know. So here's what you do. You put those out there, then you contact the people that are number one, and you say, hey, you want to put an ad in the paper? Oh, that'd be great for us to put an ad in the paper, and then they get money from that.
Yeah.
So that's, it's all money. And
it's a win-win.
Right. And local media.
It's winning all around.
Like us, best blog, best tweet, best whatever.
Yeah.
We're not going to front the cash.
We should have done that. We should have had a thing. Sneaky Dragon, third best tied Vancouver podcast.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or I could just throw some money out the window. Either way, same result.
Well, we could have just got a classified ad.
We could.
Sexy Massage, also third best tied local podcast.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sneaky Dragon. If you'd like a sneaky ending. I don't like that at all. Anyway, look, it's nice to win things. It's nice to be nominated for things. It's nice for this. But like all contests, it's a scam and it's to make money. And that's fine. And that's great. And then you as a restaurant get to put a thing on your wall and go like, we're the number two pierogi restaurant in town.
Yeah.
Hooray. But it's all they're making money off it. You're making money off it. It's a little skimmy scammy. And that's fine. That's the way capitalism works. If you don't like it, go to the moon. Because that's the only place that it doesn't exist.
Yeah, you're right. What's weird, though, is that there's a pierogi place, and then there's a pierogi place, best pierogi. And I always assume they're very similar.
What is the difference?
I have no idea.
One finished college.
One is Dr. Pierogi. The other one's Mr. Pierogi.
Yeah. Well, okay, listen. They went to Ellis Island, and one said, Mr. Pierogi, you've got to change your name. And he went, the hell I do. And and the other guy said, yeah, I'll change it to Pierogi. I just want to get in here. And so he did. He compromised his values.
He did.
But Mr. Pierogi, he could have just got kicked right off that boat or right back.
Did he?
No, he's fine. He went with that.
He's a doctor now.
He's a doctor now. You know why? Because he had that heart to go forwards. And he had both a potato and cheese filling, whereas the other guy just had straight potato.
To be fair, he's a chiropodist, and I don't really think that's a real doctor.
No, but I would agree with you.
Yeah.
There you are. Welcome back, David, to the podcast. It's nice to have you on as my guest for the 270th time.
You're welcome.
Now, since last week.
Yes.
Now, last week, of course.
Time you for were, the interview segment of the
right,
show.
Right. Well, I think you've done some stuff this
enough
week
of,
that
enough
deserves.
Enough of your monologue.
That's right.
Now it's time to bring out the guests.
That's right. Well, we got to do a comedy bit, and then we get into that.
Yeah.
And then I usually turn off the talk show. I'm like, comedy bit's done. Click. Done. So I don't need to see the person who's the second lead in How to Get Away with Murder. I don't mm-hmm. need to see that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's also in Orange is the New Black.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
That is not a comedy. Anyway, but other people on other podcasts talk about that, so I'm not going to talk about that. So, David, since last week,
yes.
you have changed your life completely.
I've changed my life completely.
Right. You've started a new religion, is it?
I have started. Well, I joined a new religion. No. Why would I do that?
Oh, fun. Get that toaster?
I'm busy
enough.
Do you
get a toaster when
one.
You join a new religion?
You know, you don't. Now that you mention it, it would be fair. It would be a draw.
I mean, because you're going to churches. You're going to put money yeah. in the old collection plate every week. Why not get a toaster off the top?
That's the thing. Like, organized religion nowadays is
and then
facing
it, and then
that.
It has that picture of Jesus on it when the toast pops up. Yeah. It always reminds you, better go to church on Sunday.
Always reminds you. It's always there to remind you. And, you know, like, churches nowadays are complaining about, you know, falling membership. Even formerly popular, like, charismatic evangelical churches are also facing a drop in membership. Mm-hmm. It's not just boring old middle-of-the-road liberal religions like Anglicanism that everyone's flying away from, but, you know, so...
By the way, have you guys thought
of... Free toasters.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. To get the kids involved, Minecraft. Yeah.
Minecraft.
Yeah.
Just have more Minecraft in the sermons.
Well, I'm thinking...
Minecraft-based sermons.
Say you're talking about Noah's Ark. Get the kids to build an ark and fill it with all the animals from Minecraft.
Sure.
What are you guys talking about? Sodom and Gomorrah. Get them to build that. Walls of Jericho.
Sure.
Get them to build the walls of Jericho in Minecraft. Do yeah. a whole church. Solve your problems. See, this is the thing.
There's nothing to attract you to church.
You don't need to attract people to church?
No, there's nothing that will attract you to church.
I think Minecraft would.
But you could do that at home. You don't need to go to church to play Minecraft.
But wouldn't it be cool if, like, well... I
yeah,
mean,
it would be cool, but it wouldn't be any better than... Like, you would... You could be at home and play Minecraft while watching television.
Okay, the best way to...
Or
yeah.
you could be at church, play Minecraft, and have to sit down, stand up, listen to hymns, and listen to a sermon.
Oh, no, you get rid of that stuff. What you do
is pure...
you have the kids...
Wait, you can't...
You have the kids on the Wi-Fi.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, because if you're on the Wi-Fi, you yeah. can all join in together, right?
Uh-huh.
So everyone's working together toward
so
a common goal.
So you Skype. You have a Skype.
I don't think it's Skype. It's just Wi-Fi, you know, to join all the phones together. And now you're building all your biblical things.
Oh, I see.
Kids get together, build a crucifix.
Sure.
Have a good time.
Well, you know, they're always looking for ways to get the youth into church.
Minecraft.
And it seems to be the only way is a trail of jelly beans and then lock the doors.
Well, I remember back when it was catechism for us and they would have us have sexy parties. That was gross. Weird.
Yeah, we don't go there.
Good. Don't. It's weird. Let's just have a party over here. Well, I'm going to dim the lights and leave the room now. Anyway, guys, what's the point? Strange. I think they just want to make sure we're all straight.
To be honest, we actually have quite a few young families in our church
well,
right
that's
now.
Nice.
It's weird.
Why is that weird? Do you say they're weird when they're there?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing here?
Hey, weirdo.
Don't you have things to do?
Don't you know this Minecraft?
You're young. Why are you here? This is strictly for the oldies.
Yeah, wait, why are you there? And they say. And then it all becomes weird.
Yeah.
So you didn't change religions.
No.
You changed something. What was it?
I changed
wives.
My outlook.
Oh, your outlook.
My outlook on life.
All right.
I decided no more dismal Dave. From now on, it's delightful Dave.
Okay.
Sunny days all day.
All right. Sunny Daves
all
are
week.
Here again.
Sunny Daves are here again. Yeah.
Okay.
I just completely 100%. Flipped myself in my head. I did that. I actually did that. And I think I got a concussion, which is why my outlook has changed.
Okay.
I think I'm...
I don't like hearing this after last week when you had some danger and you were 30 feet in the air standing on a forklift.
Some brain injury. No, I left my job. I left my job. Well, my job left me. Let's be honest.
Okay.
I got my notice of termination and we talked about that.
If you went to your job now, like your old job, does
yeah.
it still exist?
What, if I said, can I come back to this job?
No. Does the business still exist?
Yeah, they're still there.
Okay, but they're going to wrap up soon.
They're wrapping up. I think they would prefer it if I'd help with a wrap up.
Yeah.
But I actually hate that. I hate that part of anything in life.
Okay.
Is like the final things that you need to get done. Like, I just don't want to do that. Like,
you've never read the Book of Revelation.
You know what? You're right. I've never finished it.
Good.
I tried to read it, but holy cow. I'm still working my way through it. But No, like at home, if I'm making a salad, I'll make the salad dressing. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to like do the salad and break it up and stuff like that. I leave that for Lisa to do.
That seems like the first part is making the salad and then you make the dressing.
I don't want to do that.
It seems like you don't. Okay, that's not like an
ending. I don't want to do like the boring job. I just want to do the fun job of making the salad dressing. Okay. And it seemed like okay, when we were like putting together like pallets.
That is subjective.
We're pulling all the boxes off the shelves and piling them onto pallets. That's fun. Like I don't know. Not everyone has the same idea of fun as me, obviously, but that's fun. It's physical, and you're figuring things out. You're trying to put together the most efficient.
You're Tetrising it.
Yeah, you're Tetrising, and it's kind of fun. It's interesting, and then of Juicy Fruit, because my dad always chewed that gum in the car,
right?
And that reminds me of long car trips, and it always makes me think of being car sick.
Right. Okay. So you're smelling sweet things while you're doing heavy exercise and spinning around.
It's a lot of fun.
Okay. Have you ever seen the signs of a stroke?
There was no toast involved.
Okay, there's other things, though. What you want to do is...
Although I did say skull sometimes during the...
Did you say it clearly?
No.
All right. So make sure you look in the mirror and smile. Make sure both sides of your face are going up at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So that part is fun. You know, moving pallets and putting them onto a big thing, and that's all fun to me. But the whole, like, sweeping up and, like, finding, like, a box of grommets that you don't know what they belong to, and should we throw this out, and, I don't know, put it over there... And then we'll think about it next week. And I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that stuff. I don't want to do the cleaning up stuff. Like, that's... Ugh.
So how are they moving all that stuff out of there? Where are they going to find a secondary Dave?
Well, I've volunteered to go back and help with the container filling.
Okay.
So we filled... Like, almost everything was off the shelves when I left.
Okay.
Like, basically, all the parts... Like, I sorted through all the parts and...
By the way, they're going to pay you for that, right?
Well, I'm done.
But you're going back and you're
volunteering. Oh, yeah, they'll pay me for that, of course.
Good. Okay.
But because everything is done. Like, basically, when everything...
I understand.
Like, all the major stuff was all done.
I just was worried you were doing this as a favor.
No. And, you know, I showed them how to do the shipping and how to... You know, I just showed how everything works before I left. So I'm sure they have no idea.
I was going to go, they should have learned that many years ago.
Yeah, they should have. But you know, when you're telling people how to do stuff and they're just kind of giving that, yeah? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're just thinking to yourself, no one's getting this. No one understands what I'm talking about.
Well, you think you are at the time. I mean, I'm still trying to figure out this whole podcasting thing.
Yeah.
And you've showed me how to do that a couple of times. And I'm like, okay, I remember three quarters of this. But that other quarter is real important. Let me just go through the options here until I figure this out. And then like, ugh, I got to work tonight. I got to go. And so, yeah. Real life gets in the way.
So, well, this is not real life. I mean, this is their job. This is their job now. I'm gone. So this is their job. They are the shipper receivers. They are invoicing. They are doing everything that I did they have to do now.
They are shipping at a ship that is now going to be docked forever.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But they're still expected to fill orders.
They
because
sure are. Yeah, yeah. It's important.
Stuff that we shipped out last week is still somewhere in the middle of the country.
Very important.
Creeping and crawling its way there. And once it gets there, they have to take it all off. You know, and then itemize it and figure out what everything is. And
you're not going to race them across the country and like meet them there and then take it all
off. I did volunteer to do that, but no, I didn't. I got to do that. No, I'm done.
I worry about you.
I'm done.
I think a lot of people worry about you.
Why?
Well, you just hear what people have you do and they go like, well, Dave will say yes to things that maybe Dave should not say yes to.
You think it's wrong to say I'll come back and help fill do the container?
After last week's having you stand on that forklift, yes.
That's nothing. Really, it's nothing.
Except risking your life.
Meh, whatever. What's life? You only have once you're dead, you don't know, so it's fine. It only comes off the end of your life, right?
Uh-huh.
That's a rule of life.
Right, yeah.
If you're driving fast, people go, you're going to kill yourself. You go, it only comes off the end of your life. You don't know.
Uh-huh.
You don't know when that's going to happen, so it's fine. No, I'm just joking.
Okay, good.
I'm not.
You know
really
there's
that...
such a thing as being a quadriplegic as well, right? It's not just
even at the time,
black and white here. There's a lot of gray in between.
That was something that concerned me. I'm not going to sugarcoat that one.
No,
that
you didn't last week.
It was silly.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous to do that.
I wanted to go down to that business a couple of days this week and have a little talk with him. Okay, but now you've got a new job.
Yeah, I have a new job, yeah. I started yesterday.
Right.
Now,
are you legally allowed to say what this job is? Are you a spy of some sort?
I don't want to say who I work for.
No, you don't want to say the name of the company. Because you know what? They have not bought sponsorship on this show.
They have not bought sponsorship. That's right. We expect some money first.
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to have a contest to say who is the best businesses you've ever worked for. Then, when we've gotten people to vote, we're going to contact those businesses and say, why not advertise on this show? And then we're going to advertise it hard.
Yeah. Good
That's
idea.
How we're going to make some sweet, sweet dough off this.
I've just started there, and I don't know, but it's already a different kind of a job. Like, it's already a different feeling.
Well, that's good for your brain.
You know, like, sometimes. At this job, we keep the lights on in the warehouse. It's interesting.
So there's someone
they're on all day.
There's someone who isn't walking behind you turning lights off.
Turning lights off, yeah. And then it's heated.
And at the same time, when they turn the lights off, they hide and they pretend to be a ghost.
That was the weirdest part.
And then they just throw a cat out at you every so often just to freak you out.
This is your, that's easy scares. You're disappointed.
You're just yelling.
You're not even trying to creep me out now.
Easy scares. That's right. That'd be funny that's in a cheap movie. Someone does that, just like a cat jumps out and you're like, eh, that's cheap, ghost. That's cheap. Get creative.
Boo.
I boo you.
I boo you, ghost. The warehouse is heated. So that's a change because I've never had a heated warehouse ever. Because the other place, the doors were open all year round. Like,
right.
Because there's no lights. So okay. I'd have to open the doors
your
all
last
the time.
Job, did you get it in Shanghai by any... Were you thrown into a sack and then taken to this job?
It was Shanghai. I was press ganged into the job. No, I went and applied and got the job. Mm. There were perks. Mm-hmm. There were perks to that job.
I know. There were perks to the job. But let's just say, if from what I'm remembering, you started with more people than you ended with. Mm-hmm. And those definitely. People like all just went, ugh, and like left, right?
When the boss's son said, ugh, that was the weirdest moment.
And then you're just standing there while One Tin Soldier plays softly in the background. So now you've moved to a place that's got heating. You're allowed to use the bathrooms.
Yeah.
You don't have to go in a bush outside.
No, we had bathrooms. But
you're allowed to wear your own clothing.
Well, I don't like, I mean, I always wore my own clothing, but it's different. Like today, the president of the company called me from Toronto to welcome me to the company. Weird, isn't it?
Nope, that sounds good.
It sounds nice.
How big is the company? How many, you don't say again what it is, but.
There's four, well, there's quite a few different distribution places. I think there's four major distribution places here, Calgary, Toronto, and then somewhere in the Maritimes.
Okay.
And then they have various brand, like little smaller branches, satellite branches.
Well, think, here's the thing. Like, say you're the president of the company. You got a whole bunch of stuff you got to get done. But isn't that a pleasant thing to do?
Yeah.
Like, you've got a pleasant task. Now, what do you have to do? There's a new guy working here. Oh, let me give a call. Hey, welcome to the club. You know, that's just going to be a very nice call.
Yeah.
And you're going to feel good. They're going to feel good. You know, you've boosted that person a bit. They're like, oh, the president called me. You're going to feel like the president. Because normally when you're the president...
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot of people coming in going, wow, the president. Most people come in and go, the president, listen, president, I'll tell you the problem with this fucking company. And blah, blah, blah. And so you want to talk to the new guy who's like, hey, Mr. President, nice to hear from you. Oh, blah, blah, blah. So very pleasant both ways.
The only problem was is I didn't know who he was.
And he went, listen, they just jack
said,
off.
Yeah, someone said, Louis on the phone. So I'm like, oh, okay. So I picked up and I'm like, hello? He goes, oh, hi, David. And I said, yes. And he goes, this is Louis. I said, oh, hi. And then he's like, do you know who I am? I said, I don't. And he goes, oh, I sign your checks. I said, I'm happy to speak to you. And we had a nice conversation. And he it is kind of a family company. Like back in Ontario, that's where the family's centered. So there's lots of family who work for this company.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. This is why our show isn't successful.
Is that right?
All right, because of this.
Okay.
Because like when you go like... who is this? I sign your checks. I want to go, a talking pen? Hey, everybody, it's a talking pen. And that's just such a dumb thing that's not worth derailing anything, but it just cut me as funny of just like a pen holding up.
Me just saying that.
Yeah. Hi, that'd guess what better. I do? I can write any word in any language. Anyway, just thought I'd call you. I'm a talking pen. Bye, everybody.
Yeah.
Click. Anyway, sorry, continue. It's that was like not worth derailing this at all.
Yeah, you kind of, and you could also just say, don't I just get them their automatic deposit, though? Their direct deposit.
And anyway, so fuck you, Dedrick.
You're not really doing anything. Liar.
Yeah, then he goes, you've discovered me, David. I am the living computer. You have pissed off Ultron. Now Ultron will take over. Ultron.
Back of the computer opens, this little man scurries out and
that's
runs away.
That's right. I picture him on a skateboard, just skating away. And you go, I'm a dwarf too.
Some of the family were here last week, and I was helping them with the rack. And if you remember me mentioning that. And so he mentioned that. He said, oh, they were talking about you when they came back and saying how nice you were and how helpful you were and everything. So I was like, oh, that's good.
Right.
Word gets around.
It does.
So that's nice. It's nice to get compliments because, to be honest, at the other place, you never got compliments because they weren't people who liked to compliment.
Because it was a gulag.
It was a gulag. It's just weird. Like, my boss is the kind of person that if he doesn't insult you, he doesn't like you. Do you know what I mean? Like, one of those kind of people that is, you know, the reflexive thing is to call you like...
Sociopath. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Like an American psycho type.
They are.
If he's not trying to kill you, there is a certain, he doesn't care.
There is a certain amount of that to my bosses, yes.
Right. And look, Dave.
Which is weird that they had kids, right? Like, why would sociopaths have children?
because they don't care about using a condom.
That's I guess why. That's the thing. We'll just hey, have some
what
kids.
What if we're terrible parents? I don't care. Keep yeah. it going. And it goes on from there. Like,
I guess
to
right.
worry about being a bad parent, you have to not be a sociopath.
I guess that's it. There's if you don't have any empathy for what the hell you're doing.
Yeah.
Because really, there weren't very empathetic people.
Look, clearly, here's what... Let me just say what's happened, Dave. And everyone out there is listening, and they all know what's happened.
Okay.
You started off years ago, mm-hmm. a young man with a dream. And you...
To make some money at a job.
Sure. To make some money at a job. Mm-hmm. And then little by little, they started turning the heat off and turning lights off behind you. And people smartened up and left. And they insulted you all the time. And they were making you do dangerous things that you could become a quadriplegic easily. And you're, you know, you're doing it with them. And look, little by little, you Stockholm syndromed your way into, this is pretty good. And so that certain part of your brain that goes, run, that deadened. And now you've moved across the street or yeah. wherever it is that you're going.
Yeah.
And now they're treating you like a human man. And you're, this is interesting. Why hot now? Why Dave being, why hug Dave? Why Dave get praise? Dave not understand.
Okay.
And
that's
such. Such.
That's
it's
some,
nice to get
compliments.
That's
somewhat true. That's somewhat true. But I think I did have criticized that sort of stuff on the show. So I was not like I was okay with that.
No, you just
it's
took
just
it.
That, I mean, I was getting paid and the job was easy and what the hell.
Jobs do pay, otherwise they're not jobs.
Yeah.
That's otherwise that's volunteer work. That's right.
But
if your big thing is like, I'm getting paid,
and
that's the bare minimum can have in a job and still call it that.
And to further defend myself, when I got my notice of termination,
yeah,
I had a job interview already set. Like, I already was moving on.
Okay.
Before I was, like, because I kind of knew what was happening. And it was, you know, okay, it was, those parts of the job were irksome. I didn't enjoy those parts of the mm-hmm. job. I often felt like just walking away.
Right.
You know, because I would be angry about lights being turned off while I was working.
Yeah, because you're a human.
So, those sort of things, yes, that did bother me.
Because when you're in your 40s and someone's following you like a mum, turning off lights, going,
yeah,
you know,
that
what
part
were you?
Sucked.
Yeah.
That part sucked. But, I mean, no job is great. Let's face it. I don't care what you do. It's not great.
Okay. You know?
It's just it's a job, right? Like, you got to do it until your shift is done, and then you get to go home. That's a job.
That is a one that possibly can you continue.
So, I mean,
don't necessarily agree with those things, but please continue. Go
but
ahead.
But that's
you've
been
making
essence.
A point, so go for
that's
it.
That's the essence of it. I mean,
that's many jobs.
You can
yes.
you can love to draw,
mm-hmm.
and then you get a job drawing.
Right.
Now your job is drawing. Drawing is no longer that much fun. It becomes a chore that you have to do certain amount of drawing in order to finish what you need to do in order to get paid. And that's just,
work,
it becomes a job.
Yeah, things can.
It becomes a job. And it can become unpleasant because it's just
it
a job.
It could be, yeah.
You know, you're not drawing because you feel like, you're not like, oh, you know what I feel like doing? I feel like doodling for a bit. I'm going to get some paper out and sit and draw circles for a while and have some fun. No, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, I got to sit down and draw this thing and get it finished.
That can definitely happen, yeah.
Yeah, and that's a grind. It doesn't matter what you do. It can become a grind.
Right, but there's there is a difference between there's a job. Okay, so you've always wanted to like be a veterinarian.
Okay.
Now it's not great being a vet because you got to squeeze the dog's anal glands, and that's not fun. And then the cat scratches you.
Well, you start off, and that is fun.
Okay,
like that's what you look forward to. Like,
okay.
I get to squeeze dog's anal glands.
Okay, all right.
But by the time you've squeezed 500 anal glands, it's no longer fun anymore. It's a bit of a grind.
But you've still got your love of animals and the reason that you wanted to become a vet in the first place.
Sure.
So you go there, and you do have a certain sense of reward. And even though some things are unpleasant, I think there's there's unpleasant things. And there's work, but then you can get joy from work. You
yeah.
can get joy in moments through the day where, like, you get to save an animal's life or whatever you do. You know, something is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, say you're working at a job that you're a door-to-door salesman, which is a job we've both done, and that job is just pure shit because you've never wanted to be a door-to-door salesman. No. You don't believe in the product you're selling, like I didn't when I was selling tire packages door-to-door.
Yeah.
If I was still or telemarketing or something like that. Now, both of those are jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those you can go. Both of those have things you don't like. Both of those are unpleasant but at certain times, and you go home at 5 and you're done and you get paid. But they couldn't be more different in, I think, what they do to your soul sometimes, you know?
Well, it depends. There's some people who like.
Sure. Some people like to just like do the job and like, the job is a job and I'm going to, that's the dues I pay for life. And
yeah.
That's fine. And by gosh, those are 8 hours I'm going to give every day. It's those 8 hours. And then I get to do what I want and whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it's a little different. The person who's doing the thing that they have some caring about
yeah.
still gets more out of that than that. I'm saying you should do things you like.
I agree with you. Okay. I think working dead-end jobs like I am, that's not a future I want for anyone.
But if you're working a dead-end job...
And it's a future I attempt to keep my daughters
from. Yeah, not in judgment of a dead-end job, but I think if you're working a dead-end job, then at least... And I don't think it's necessarily a dead-end job. Maybe there's room for promotion in this job. I don't know what the situation is. But I would rather they treat you respectfully, and not insult you jokingly. No. jokingly. There's not. Here's the thing. Here's the thing about... Yeah. About joking insults, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did you joke back with the guy?
Oh yeah.
So you just equal level of meanness? Do you think there were equal levels of meanness of him to you and you to him?
I was probably meaner because I'm wittier.
All right. You were better at it.
Yeah.
Here's what I usually find is like, you know, in a job where it's that jokey environment, mm-hmm. it's usually the boss who gets to be more jokey. And the problem is they're jokey, you're jokey, but he's jokey with power.
Yeah.
And at any point, that guy has the right to go, all right, knock it the fuck off.
That's true.
And you don't have the right to go, all right, knock it the fuck off.
That's true.
So that makes the jokiness a little bit different.
That's true.
Yeah.
But,
it's like both the big guy and the little guy get to slap each other. What's the problem? Well, big guy still has, big guy's huge. And let's just, who's fooling who here?
So, yeah, this job is different. And I found out that they have beer Fridays. So they have they sit and drink beer on Fridays, which I don't drink beer. So kind of when Lent is over, I can put some root beer or some Coke in the fridge. So
nice.
So it's nice, like a little Friday cool, wind down. That's nice.
It is nice. You get to have a little chat.
Yeah.
Goof around a bit.
And there's five of us there, myself included, and so that's nice to have people. You know, actually, one thing I like about the job that I do is that it's a by yourself kind of a job. Because I'm a by myself kind of a person.
Okay.
But I do like to talk to people too. I'm not a complete hermit.
Now, if you're allowed to tell me this, is anyone there related to the boss?
No.
That's good too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good not working
with the
live
prince
back
when
there.
You're in the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, all the relations live back there. Good. And I think because that's where the perks of being in the family would be, back where the family is centered.
Okay.
You know, if they moved out here, you know, they might have a bit of sway, but nowhere would be getting the kind of perks you're getting, you know, from living close
to each
other.
Now, the ratio of physical labor to doing bookkeeping and that sort of thing.
I don't do any of that.
You don't do any bookkeeping?
No, that's all gone now.
Okay.
So, and that's a part of the job that I liked when I was working for the other job, was I liked the fact that I did lots of different things during my shift. But in this job, I am going to get to take over doing purchase orders.
Okay.
So I will be in charge of inventory and stuff. So that's, I'm looking forward to that. And I think they've been kind of surprised how quickly I've picked up the job. I've pretty much know what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
So
smart.
Yes.
You're a smart man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That helps.
Yeah. You're overqualified for this job. That's why you're good at it.
Well, that's what I said.
Yeah.
I said I'm overqualified for any job I'm qualified for. So, you know.
Okay.
You know what I mean, right?
I do know that that's a saying that you say. That's a nice saying, yeah. And it makes our listeners go, and then they send you job offers in the mail. Anyway, yes, I understand, yes.
But I just mean
by the way, at some point, someone out there is going to offer you an amazing job.
Sure.
And then just take it seriously when it comes. That's all I'm asking you.
Okay.
All right.
So anyway, it's nice. It's people help each other, and there's lots of teamwork.
Good.
And I like that element of it, and everyone gets along well together, and it's nice. It's a nice place to work. So,
is it a one of those where you got a card and you got to scan your way into different things?
There's no there's no time cards. There's no nothing like that. So that's nice.
Cool.
I've never worked a time card. Well, I mean, other than working when I worked in the parking lots, I've never really worked a time card job. So,
and is it the same hours as before?
It's a half an hour different. So I finish
plus
at 4:30.
Plus or minus?
I finish at 4:30 rather than 4.
Okay.
So it's a half an hour. So I'll be home half an hour later. But the thing about it, though, I've been thinking is maybe I will do the gym in the morning, and then I will have the evenings off. Like I can just go home after work. So because if I'm at the gym at 7, I can be at work quite well ahead of starting time. So.
Or you could try convincing them to have a gym at the old workplace.
Oh, yes.
You know, why not set up a couple of things there, and then we're all in better shape, and you can write that all off.
That's right. Put a treadmill at my desk, and. Well, apparently that's not very helpful for losing weight, having a treadmill at your desk. I was reading an article about it.
Though they say it's better for your heart to have a standing desk. That's the new thing.
Yeah, I've heard standing desks, but I think that'd be better for your back, a standing desk.
It's also apparently your heart. You know, one of the bad things for your heart is sitting for long periods of time. So if you're standing, it just makes everything a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, my job's up and down, so I'm...
Yeah, you're getting the workout, so you're okay.
Yeah.
I had... a thing this we had hints of rent eviction in the apartment.
Ooh.
Oh, hints, rumors. But it's the and I know they don't listen, so who cares? It's the gossipy ladies in the building who are just, I heard this and I blah, blah, blah. And they decided to put papers under our doors with a whole bunch of stuff it's like your mom sending you an email and it's like, get to the point. Yes. And it's all this stuff about, you know, why rent evictions aren't fair and how they are in Ontario and how this local politician tried to do stuff but it didn't work out. It's just all, so it's like, okay, well, you just showed me what didn't work out. That doesn't help me at all. Mm-hmm. Now you're telling me what things are like in Ontario. Okay, that doesn't help me at all. No. And then it's talking about like, yeah, why this is unethical and it's not fair. Yeah, that's also not helping me in any way, shape, or form. So what's with the papers under the door? Yeah. What are you trying to say?
How about something concrete?
Like, yeah, what they're trying to do, and I've just heard this because they loudly talk in the hallways, is they're going to try and get the news media involved.
To save an apartment building.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So it's going to be, a short story possibly on someday or some Mike McArdle nonsense.
Yeah.
And that'll be it and no one will care and moving on. You know, it's just like, oh, this is a little bit of bad publicity or we could make millions of dollars. So what are we going to do? Millions of dollars, everyone around us. Here we go. Those of you that don't know what rent evictions are, it's you can't really evict people without doing a whole bunch of stuff. But rent evictions, they renovate everything. And if you live in Ontario, you can get your apartment back for the same amount.
Okay.
That's a rule they've got in Ontario.
Yeah.
We do not have that rule here. So if you want your apartment back, you can get it. But now the rent is... through the roof. Yeah. So good luck, jump. just coincidentally, friends of ours are moving out of a house. And we're trying to find, a house. And this is only two floors of a three-floor house. The top floor is still someone else. But they apparently quite nice. And we went there. And aside from it not having a dishwasher, really good.
Yeah.
Like nice size backyard, a lot of space in the basement.
Okay.
It's nice. And the basement is ground level, which I like too. And we can make noise in the basement and not bother people, which is great, because you want to do stuff and pound your feet. It's funny whenever friends of mine who have houses come over to the apartment.
Like me?
Well, there you go. And they're watching TV and they're like, ah, ha, ha, little knee slapping on the floor. Okay, I guess
I don't do that.
No, but other people do. Who don't remember what it's like to live in an apartment building. Yeah. So, we would like to have this place. So we looked at it yesterday. Some people that live there who are the friends of ours showed it to us. And I was like, oh, this actually is really good. I knew it because we'd shot a couple of commercials there for Critical Hit Show.
Okay.
And so now we've got the contact guy. And so we're contacting him and like just fingers crossed that we can figure something out. But then it's the fingers crossed. But then if it does happen, it means we're probably going to be moving at the end of this month.
Yeah.
Which, aside from all... the big horrors in life, which I don't have to name, after all those is moving. It's just such a huge pain.
Remember that you have a dumb friend who likes to
move stuff around. I love that. But I also have heavy shit that I'm going to get professional gentlemen to do.
Okay.
But yes, other things, yes. You were great. And when we moved my sister-in-law out of the hellscape.
Former friend of the show.
Vicky Van, down the worst staircase in the world. It's just awful. The situation. And then the roommates were there and they weren't helping at all. And you just wanted
to. They weren't very helpful.
They were.
In fact, they were. I would say that they were being unhelpful. They weren't. It wasn't that they were like neutral. They were being unhelpful.
And let me just say that, maybe I'm prejudiced, but my sister-in-law is one of the best people on earth. And if you're not getting along with her, you're a dick.
Yeah.
You're just a dick. Yeah. You, then you can't get along with people, and that's your fucking problem. So you're kind of... kind of a piece of shit, is what I'm saying.
I will second your motion.
Thank you.
I will second your emotion.
Anyway, so the plus and minuses here is like we're hoping that maybe this will come through, and it'll be kind of a bummer if it doesn't.
Yeah.
But if it does, that means all of a sudden, now we're packing the packet, 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 packet. And I got to decide whether I want to keep the office here as well or not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because like we'll have enough space to actually do stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. So I'm nervous.
So what's happening? I'm very nervous about things.
Yeah.
But it's a change that would be probably good.
Yeah.
You know, the apartment's kind of falling apart. The toilet broke last week. Okay. Yeah, it took a long time to fix.
Mm-hmm.
The dishwasher has broke, does not work, will not dissolve soap of any kind. And that's a thing a dishwasher should do.
Should do that.
Yeah. It also now doesn't clean the dishes. It just pushes dirt around inside or whatever. And the oven just broke. So everything's falling apart. And then we get the rent eviction thing. And it's like, maybe it's time to, maybe all the signs are lined up. Maybe it's time to go.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
And sounds exciting. I think that you would enjoy that change.
It would be exciting. And it's for it's.
Can I ask you where, like not exactly where, but whereabouts it would be?
Yeah. It's just a couple of blocks from here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, wow.
I could mention street names, but it wouldn't make...
Wouldn't mean anything to me.
Yeah, it wouldn't mean anything to you. Let's say it's about three blocks up and about five blocks over from where I live, going towards the east.
Oh.
It's a nice-ish neighborhood. It's
like kind of that St. Albert...
It's just before Fraser. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Once again, if you know Vancouver, you know it. It's
sure.
It is a nice area. You know, there's lots of families and stuff around, mm-hmm. and it's the air. Oh, well, here's the thing too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of okay. There's a couple of things that happened yesterday. One, we were looking at this place. We're like, oh, hope we get it. And then I also someone who follows me on Facebook.
Yeah.
Who's a producer of movies that I know. Contacted me and went, I really love your things you write on here. They're very funny. I never do this, but do you have any ideas for movies or television shows? So basically,
and you're like, do I?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I go, do I? And then I go, do I? And then I check I check my computer and go like, well, let me just look at my pitch file because I've got a file of pitches that I have ready made that when the computer went down, got erased. Son of a bitch. Okay. Well, let me just go looking in my email because I know I emailed a lot of these off.
Yeah.
My email is starting to erase my emails. This is not good. So I'm now scrambling to find all these pitches.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. So, champagne problems, but I was able to put some stuff together. So I'm like a little bit about that because it's the call that you want to get. Just like, listen, buddy, what do you? So anyway, so I did that. So I'm like a little bit stressed over that. And I got a little bit of family stuff that's kind of stressed me out. You know, my sister just moved to Alberta.
Oh.
And so, about that. And my mom was supposed to see her before she went and then she didn't. Ugh. And so it's that whole mom thing, her husband wouldn't let her see her. So I'm stressed over about that.
Yeah.
So, me and Pia go after seeing the house, we're going to go relax in the park and we're just going to sit and we're going to talk about whether or not we're going to try and get this house or not.
Yeah.
So we sit down, we relax, we look at our phones, chemical fire nearby, evacuate the area, everyone get in your homes, seal your windows, chlorine gas is coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, time to go. So, we're racing the fucking cloud.
Yeah,
boy. And I don't mean the apple cloud.
No,
I mean the cloud of death.
The chlorine cloud of death.
Yes.
It was something else. I would not like to have been a firefighter in that mess.
Well, it was very close to where Pia used to volunteer at the Marine Mammal Rescue Center. So her concern, first of all, I was asking, how about the animals that are there? But they're all cleared out because it's not the time of the year that they rescue the animals.
Okay.
So this was, for all the times this could happen.
Animals are on vacation.
This is, well,
there's no need to rescue any animals.
The animals have all been returned to the sea be returned to the sea. So if you're going to have a horrible chemical fire, now is the time. But it could get then into the water there, and there's a lot of river otters and there's stuff. So that's not outstanding.
No.
So there's a little bit of river otters, and then we went, and then we did the double check, and it went okay, as long as you're on the west side of Main Street, you're safe. And so we saw a restaurant, and it was just on the east side of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, We could probably do this. Okay, so we went, but we're on the wrong side of the street. The cloud, the cloud's just going to stop and go.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm not going there. I'm not going to the west. So we ate at the little restaurant and we kept looking outside the window and just going, and I was like, we're on the wrong side of the street. We got to get to the other side. Then we get. It did stink up the neighborhood last night.
Wow.
Yeah. You're like, oh, this is not good that I'm breathing this, but there you are. So a day of a lot of stress, some interesting stuff.
Was that yesterday that happened?
Yeah.
It wasn't even on the front page of the paper this morning.
It was all over the news.
Well, I'm sure it was on the news, but it seems weird that it wouldn't be covered in a newspaper.
It was all these reporters, and they were all in respirators, in front of the thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, get out of there. And all their reporting was,
That's what we got here.
What?
That's where I think.
Are there anything? Get him out of here. It really burns your eyes. Well, then get something on your eyes. Don't make them stand in front of the damn thing.
Yeah.
What's that bullshit? Like, green screen it if you have to. Who gives a damn?
And why was the guy doing the weather there?
Yeah.
That's always a weird one, right?
Yeah, and why were they doing the adopt-a-dog segment there? That was just mean.
Between all the remotes by the chlorine
this
gas fire.
This guy's name's Puddles, but don't worry. He was being trained. He's looking for a forever home. And, oh, he's asleep now. Nope.
Oh, yep.
I think he's in his forever home now.
I think his bowels has failed. Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Fred, could you...
The dots are falling off the Dalmatians. This is not good. Yeah, boo on that.
Yeah, it's, well... It happens. Shit happens, man.
It does.
And I live far away, so I don't care.
Sure, sure.
It's the indifference of, you know, people. Not in my backyard. They tried to put a chlorine dump in our neighborhood, and I was like,
is that what you call a public pool?
Yes. That's what you do in a public pool.
You do.
There. The end.
You bring the one kid out who poops chlorine every so often. Just let him go in the pool.
It's a little puck comes out.
Yeah.
Into the water.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good
job.
Do you remember like being a kid? Take a drink. There we go. Let's mine this. Let's mine this. Like I remember being a kid and like it's time for the chlorine in the pool.
Mm.
Everyone has to get out of the pool. Okay. And then they bring barrels.
Yeah.
Barrels of chlorine out. Open them up. Dump them in the pool.
It's pretty hot.
Pretty crazy. And then just you wait it out and like. And then time to go back in. Yay! And we jump. I'm like, really? That feels like...
Well, Ian, you know, I was a middle-class kid back when middle-class meant something. And so we had a pool. We had a pool in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't have to use that much chlorine because no one peed in it, I don't think.
Is that the only reason for chlorine?
That's pretty much it. It's just little kids doing their business all day long. I remember one time being with my mom and driving past a pool in Coquitlam. I was... young enough, I was still living there, so this is before grade 6. And I turned and looked, and this little boy was standing out of the water, just peeing right into it, like right in the shallow end. He wasn't in the water. He wasn't like nestled down in it. I can sneakily pee. No, he was flagrantly peeing in the... Ugh. And I saw that, and I never swam in that pool again. I refused to go to that pool. Never again, I said.
Ooh la la. I'm not going there. Sorry, monsieur.
I'm not going to that pool.
Fair enough. Well, I mean, he's learning it from the fountains.
It's a bad example.
It's an adorable little cherub who's taken a whiz.
Example.
Who thought that was charming? You know, it seems to me when you see that, like, say you're coming from another country, and you're not familiar with our ways, and you're like, "Well, I'm walking through the park. I really need to go to the bathroom. Where can I go? Yeah. Well, there's a fountain there.
Yeah.
Well, that can't clearly be. Wait, what's on top of it? It's an image of a young man peeing into the fountain.
Clearly, is that really that common here?
Clearly this is a urinal.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you then go, well, why can he?
Yeah.
If you
what country is this person from, first of all?
He is from...
Where they don't know what washrooms are and where to find them.
Australia.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
Apologies to our Australian.
No, we don't need to apologize. What you have to do is mail them a kangaroo.
I should have said Antarctica.
Antarctica.
Should have said that.
Why?
Because they don't have fountains there. They don't know.
No, Australia was good. That was the best answer ever. I brought a book with me.
Okay.
I'm going to do a quick 180 here.
Please.
Mentioned it last week. I mentioned a book. I said it was a book about the Oscars.
Oh yeah.
But it's actually the Encyclopedia of Movie Awards, and it was written by Michael Gebert, who is the son of Roger Gebert, the famous movie reviewer.
That does not make any sense.
And it's actually really kind of interesting because it starts with like the obviously the Oscars, but it moves on and like it'll cover any year. It'll have like the New York Film Critics Awards and the People's Choice
SAG Awards,
whatever. Like even MTV when they started in '91, whatever. So when they start, he'll include those in his Teen Choice Awards. Yeah. So it's quite interesting actually. Like so, name a year.
Name a year. 1986.
1986. So I'm right there. Can't believe I'm that fast.
Yeah, pretty good, huh?
So, So what he does is he'll. So you know what? Do you know what won the Oscar that year?
In 1986.
Yep. It was a war film.
Okay, Platoon.
That's right. Very good. And what else was up for the Academy Award that so Best Picture?
Okay, what would be up for the Academy Award in 1986? I only know the cheesy movies of that time. I would say like because I know like you get a Die Hard around that time, you get an Untouchables around that time.
Here they are.
Go ahead.
Platoon, which was the winner.
Right.
Children of a Lesser God.
Right.
Hannah and Her Sisters.
Oh, was that then? Okay, all right.
The Mission.
Yep.
A Room with a View. Those are the films. Really? So do you think Platoon still holds up as a film compared to any of those other movies?
Okay, give it to me. Like A Room Children with a View. God. Like people, A Room with a View is a kind of film people go, oh yeah, I remember that. But they don't go, man, that changed my life, A Room with a View. Unless
I love
it did.
That. I love that film a lot.
Okay.
The swimming pool sequence, right? Or swimming, nude swimming in the little and swimming
Hannah,
pool sequence.
And Hannah and Her Sisters, I think, is one of Woody Allen's best movies.
Yeah.
You know, I love the scene with him thinking he's going to die.
Yeah.
And then him realizing he's not going to die and he's so joyful. And then it's like, oh, but life, right. That was great. That's the one that Michael Caine's in that one, right?
Yes, Michael Caine and Max von Sydow.
Yeah, I think they all do like, it's a real nice mix of comedy and drama.
I think it has Diane Keaton in it.
Yeah, and definitely
Diane Weiss.
Weiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Mia Farrow.
And one of the first times you see her in the Mia Farrow? Was Diane Keaton in that then with Mia Farrow? And
I think it might be Mia Farrow that's in that one.
Maybe I'm getting mixed
but
up.
But it is a really good one. Like it's not too extreme on either end of like all too heavy drama or too heavy comedy. It blends really well. But Woody Allen's done so many movies that it's tough to go like, that's the
and
one.
And he's already won, for Manhattan and for Annie Hall, right?
Did he win for Manhattan?
I think he did the year after.
I know Annie Hall, but I wasn't sure about Manhattan. That would be weird if he won two in a row.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong because I can't really remember. So Manhattan would have been later, like 78, maybe. Mm-hmm.
But I think Platoon set a new tone for war movies that was then followed afterwards pretty strongly. Like, you know, before then it was your Apocalypse Now. Platoon is a very dark film, but it's not Deer Hunter dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Apocalypse Now dark. It takes it to a different place, and I think. War movies after that, you know, borrowed kind of heavily from Platoon.
Okay, let's talk about 1979, because we were talking about this film a while ago. Not on the show, but...
Okay.
But the winner that year was
Superman.
Was a certain... It's 1979, a certain little movie featuring Dustin Hoffman as a father.
Kramer versus Kramer.
Yeah, that was the winner that year.
Yeah, I don't agree with that.
Don't agree with that? Because the other films up were All That Jazz.
Okay, I'd give
which
Olman...
is an interesting film.
Yeah, I'd give
but
that...
But here, Apocalypse Now.
Was Apocalypse Now?
Yeah,
all
was
right.
Also nominated. Breaking Away and Norma Rae.
That's okay, I have not seen Norma Rae.
Why would you?
Breaking Away, I got a weird memory about that.
Okay.
Though I don't know if the memory is of the TV series Breaking Away or of the movie Breaking Away. Mm-hmm. But it was my dad threatening me if I ever shaved my legs like the guy did in that.
He threatened you?
Yeah.
Why,
for
were
some
you,
reason, it was out of nowhere.
Were you so excited about the...
No, it was just a leg shaving scene. He just turned to me and like... You know, just said something. And I forget what it was, but it was some sort of threat if I ever did that. And I was like, well, that seems inappropriate and wrong. You know, even then, it was just like, strange. No, Norma Rae, I haven't seen except for in pieces. I'd say, yeah, I got to give it to Apocalypse Now for that. You can't give it to Kramer. Like, you watch Kramer versus Kramer now, and listen.
It's okay.
The performances are really good. The mm-hmm. kid is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you buy the whole thing, and it's shot very simply. Yeah, I don't think it...
It swept that year.
Yeah.
Basically, it won for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman won for Best Actor. Meryl Streep won for Best Actress.
Disagree with that.
Robert Benton
She was really won... good, but she's not in it long enough, I feel, to be Best Actress. I mean, she's got the most lines of any actress, but there was not... It was
Sorry, Best Supporting Actress, so I have to take that back.
All right, Best Supporting Actress, I'll give you.
And then Robert Benton won for Director.
No, boo, no. I mean, it's a fact. Listen.
One for Best Adapted Screenplay.
Okay. It's fine. It's just so... You watch it now, and it's just like, it's just like a filmed play.
Yeah.
You know, with a couple of scenes that you go like, oh, that's a nice shot of, you know, that's a nice shot of New York. The scene where the kid hurts himself in the playground and he runs to the hospital. That's a really well-shot scene.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the amount of things you shove into Apocalypse Now... Like, what I think is just, like, it hit people hard because emotionally there's so many people, you know, involved in divorce or, you know, are dealing with those kind of issues. And I think it was one of the first films to really lay that stuff out. But now it just feels like so predictable and preachy when you look at it. You know, it's the guy getting a new job going, having a kid isn't going to affect me at all.
It came out, the problem for Apocalypse Now is it came out at the wrong time. So it came out after this kind of Vietnam War film craze, it kind of crested.
Yeah.
And so it came down. There was all, you know, it was a crazy production. The director went crazy. It went over budget. It had all these problems. the same thing was happening with Michael Cimino and Heaven's Gate, which was also causing a lot of industry
It's a very disturbing
ructions.
Film.
So I just think that at that time, the industry couldn't get behind Coppola, who I also think was kind of being a real maverick at that time and not working within the Hollywood mm-hmm. system. And so that there's a lot of, because, you know, with the Oscars and that at that level of, you know, when you're talking about Best Picture and stuff like that, there's a lot of outside factors that are coming against, you know, that are working against films being nominated or getting, you know, or winning or yeah. whatever. So, you know, something like Kramer versus Kramer, you know, it had Dustin, it had Meryl, it had, you know, an old timey, you know, guy who'd been in movies for you know, a long time with Robert Benton, who'd mm-hmm. been a screenwriter and then became a director. So it had all these kind of things that were working yeah. in its favor.
Like, it's very, you relate to it. I'm sure people related to it. I'm sure there's a lot of tears, you know. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay. Name another year. But you go on. Just name another year.
Name another year?
Yeah.
1995.
I don't know when this book stops, so I might.
Okay, then I would.
That's okay.
We'll I would fine. Go 1990 if you can't do that.
94, 95. So you'll know 95, though. You'll know 95.
Maybe right? not. Listen, the 80s were my most saturated movie period. That's when I would come downtown and I would watch a movie about a day, every day. Like, I'd just come down and watch something. Probably 95, I wasn't watching as much stuff because I was busy working. 95, I would have been in Halifax, so I would have watched. Yeah, there was like one movie theater in town. So if it wasn't playing there, I probably wouldn't have seen stuff. But continue. Though for 1995, to speak up for 1995, that was the year of Space Jam. And I think that did change a lot of stuff for a lot of people.
It did?
Yeah.
So 95, sorry, the book ended before, in 95. So he had like, so he had the con, he had the Palme d'Or, but he did not have the, so do you want to do 94 or do you want to go back to 1990?
So we can't talk Mars Attacks is what you're saying?
No.
So we can't talk Space Jam?
We can't.
Well, fine. All right. 1990.
So 1990? Sorry, buddy, for these pauses.
I was really broke in 1990. I don't know how many movies I saw then.
Okay, so the winner that year was a Kevin Costner film, a sort of epic Western.
Okay, that, oh, well, geez. It wasn't Silverado.
No.
Couldn't have been.
No.
Okay, epic Western. Oh, my God. It's weird. You might as well say baseball movie, you know, with Kevin Costner.
That's
it's like
true.
They're all either baseball movies or epic Westerns.
I've never seen this film. It's one of those films that everyone has seen, and I always say I'll never see it just for that reason.
Oh, okay.
Dances with Wolves.
Oh, I've never seen it.
You've never seen it either. Okay,
no.
So we can't really criticize it. So the films that were up for that.
I do remember where it was playing, though. I know the movie theater it was playing at. It was playing at the Royal Center Cinemas okay. here in Vancouver.
There's a film on this list that I think should have won, and I think you can right. guess which one I think
hit
it was.
Me, but hit me with it.
So the pictures that year were Dances with Wolves,
yeah.
Awakenings,
mm-hmm.
Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Ghost made it.
Also, it's not Ghost for you.
No.
You're narrowing it down.
How about this one? The Godfather Part 3. Was nominated for Best okay. Picture that year.
And as always, I can remember every theater that I saw these in.
And Goodfellas.
Oh.
Come on. Which movie out of all those films should have won the...
What was the second
admittedly,
one
again? I've never seen Dances with Wolves.
What was the second one?
Awakenings, the Robin
yeah,
Williams
too,
film.
Yeah, too corny. It was yeah. fine, but corny. Ghost in no way, shape, or form. You're in danger, girl, with that. No, yeah. no going. The creepy shadow guy's dragging you to hell, though. That was creepy. Fourth one was, again, what was the fourth one?
Fourth one was The Godfather Part 3.
Well, clearly not. Can't be. That's impossible. You can't do that. You can't do that to people.
It's a weird... See, once again, it's like... Sometimes the Oscars will nominate a film in order to boost it. You know, because it's
yeah.
a very industry award. So, you know, in order to hype the movie, if you give it an Oscar nomination, then you can be on the poster, nominated, you know, Oscar nominated film, blah, blah, blah. So that will sometimes give a little bit
also,
of.
Also, I think
a
there
boost.
Was so much love for Godfather and Godfather 2 that maybe that got it on there too. They were like, ah, just give it to them. Or people that, you know, not necessarily, they didn't necessarily see it. You know, I mean, I'm sure members of the Academy just went, must be good,
yeah.
vote for it. So you're saying Goodfellas.
Oh yeah, that is.
Yeah.
I think that's a film that
yeah.
that holds up over time.
Yeah, I'll agree.
Like, I haven't seen Dances with Wolves, but I have a feeling that if you watch it now,
how could you not?
You'd be feeling
how could you
like
not vote for that though. You know,
you'd be feeling this film's a little paternalistic, a little condescending, a little. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, we owe it to certain people to vote for that, whereas we don't owe it to gangsters.
No, well, Martin Scorsese, yeah, he's always gets blocked, so
mm-hmm.
it's very unfair. So the winner for Best Actor that year was Jeremy Irons for his role in Reversal of Fortune. Have you ever seen that film?
Yeah.
And you're
kind of
like, why would you win? Why would you? It's almost like a TV movie.
Who's he up against?
He was up against... Okay, here's the thing. I'll tell you why he won, but just, I'll just tell you.
By telling me who he's up against.
Kevin Costner.
All right.
Robert De Niro. Not for Goodfellas, but for Awakenings.
That's a mistake. Okay.
Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah, which everyone's like, throw him a bone. Weird. French bone.
Richard Harris for The Field.
Yeah. So what are you going
to
do?
He didn't get nominated for Dumbledore. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, even though it didn't come...
But Jeremy Irons won...
Are you complaining they didn't get nominated for Dumbledore before the book was written?
Yeah. Jeremy Irons won for Reversal of Fortune because he didn't win for Dead Ringers, which is one of the greatest film performances of all time.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. It's an IOU.
And so it's a kind of an IOU, yeah. I think people are like, man, will we really F that up? So let's give him this one for this year.
Okay.
Because that's a... You've seen Dead Ringers, right? Like, that's a fantastic...
Okay, let's do one more year. Let's do one more year. Okay. 76.
76 trombones.
Which would be the year that Annie Hall won. Wait, would it? When did Star Wars come? No, Star Wars came out in 77, so it wouldn't be Annie Hall. That would have been the year Jaws.
77 was Annie Hall, yeah.
So let's go 76, because that's interesting. That's the year before the first... was the year Jaws.
It is the year before the first blockbuster.
Well, no,
before
Jaws,
blockbusters.
Yeah.
Or the kind of the year of blockbusters.
Yeah.
And the movie that won... is kind of like a precursor to blockbusters, but in a way it was a very small personal film, but felt like a blockbuster, if you know what I mean.
Debbie Does Dallas.
No.
Okay.
You're wrong. It's a little plucky film about a boxer.
Rocky.
Yeah, because that's an interesting movie. It feels like a blockbuster superstar movie, but he loses.
Well, that's...
People don't remember that, though. But it has... So it has that 70s, you know, kind of very small personal... element to it.
By the way, if you want to make a film that's going to win an award, let me give you... And obviously, like, I'm going to make it about a person who's overcoming a handicap. Yeah. I'm going to put it in the Holocaust. Yeah, you can do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it about a music teacher who blah, 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 blah. Okay, we all love all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because that gives you a really good score, and it gives you a reason to play the score all the time, and it gives you a reason to have applause at the end. Here's what you do. Have your main character overcome certain obstacles and then lose... overcame the obstacles, so it's a win.
Yeah.
It's a win for him, but he's got to lose. You got to lose. You can't have, at the end, them going, I'm the biggest winner. No. Cut it down.
Yeah.
Cut it down. Listen.
Why it's the best of those
films. Did you beat Hitler? I did beat Hitler. What? With the computer? I did. Okay. But wait a minute. did you die sad?
Yeah. No. That's the problem with that film, is it misses the real sadness of that movie, is... the psychological torment of having to decide who lives and dies for the rest of the war.
Absolutely.
That's the killer. And they don't really play that up
in the film.
No,
they don't
enough.
Play that up, because this is more basic. It's just like, then he ends up, whatever. So that's what you want. You want to have like, big win, but lose, mix it up. Mix it up a bit.
I'm not going to complain about Rocky winning, because I do think it's a good film, but I think there's a better film that year.
Did Stallone win for best screenplay?
Well, let me just tell you in a second. Let me just tell you the movies for that year.
All right.
All the Presidents, let's say Rocky, which one? All the President's Men.
Pretty good.
Bound for Glory.
Didn't see it.
It's about the life of Woody Guthrie.
Really? So it's not a bondage movie?
Not a bondage film.
Oh, okay.
Network.
Okay.
And Taxi Driver, which frankly I think should have won Best Oscar, but what do I know?
Yeah, Network is it. I wonder what Hollywood thought of Network.
Well, they thought well enough of it that Peter Finch won Best Actor for Network that year, although it was kind of a pity vote in that he died after he was nominated, but before, because you cannot be nominated if you're dead for an Oscar, but he died after he was nominated, so he was a posthumous win.
So you got to have that timing.
Yep. You got to be really well-timed.
So when they ran the in memoriam thing at the end of the Oscars, did they just stick an Oscar in his hand, like in the little video clip that they wrote? And just,
they
like,
actually wheeled out, they wheeled out his body. His body was put in a freezer
in
anticipation of an Oscar win. And they actually froze his hand holding a bottle of Coke. And when they took him out, they took the bottle of Coke out and replaced it with the Oscar.
That's
and wheeled
good.
Him out on stage. Yeah, it was actually.
And he still went.
I'm surprised. You don't remember. Because the thing was, they did all that work.
Yeah.
He refused to go up on stage. He sent Sashim Littlefeather
right.
to accept the Oscar for him. And she made a very brave speech. And the winner for.
Dave, saying a brave speech. A brave speech. Do we have to use that kind of language?
I couldn't think, because I was looking at who won for original screenplay, which was Network. Paddy Chayefsky won.
Yeah, right,
Network.
Sure. But
once again,
but
someone who'd been in the industry a long
Stallone
time.
But Stallone was nominated, right, for best screenplay?
Doesn't show all that information.
Okay.
And William Goldman won for best adapted screenplay that year for All the President's Men. Who won for best actress? Faye Dunaway.
Okay. Okay. You would be a terrible game show host.
Best supporting actor.
How many states are there? 50?
Best supporting actor, Jason Robards, and best supporting actress, Beatrice Straight from Network. So Network took quite a few. Rocky won for Best Picture, but Network got a lot of support, just to answer your question. And what's interesting about that year was United Artists. Mm-hmm. All the President's Men is not, sorry, but Bound for Glory and Network are both United Artists films. So it's interesting for a pretty small studio. And then the next year, Annie Hall wins. That's a United Artists movie.
Yeah. And Star Wars fans till the end of time will be going, oh.
Do you really think it deserved an Oscar?
What, Star Wars?
Yeah, the first Star Wars film? I don't. Not over Annie Hall.
Well, it's tough. I mean, here's the thing. When you put things up that are two completely different genres, you know, it's like when Chicago won, which, by the way, my wife hated, like more than any other movie that we've ever seen together. Like, she just loathed that film. But when you're putting a musical up against a straight film, that seems weird. That seems like you shouldn't, you can't have those two things battling each other. Hmm. You know, I don't necessarily think a war movie should be up. What's the reason that you never get a comedy, right?
Star Wars was nominated, though.
What's that?
Star Wars was nominated,
though. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know it was nominated. But it's like you can't put those two together. Like because you go like, well, this one has significance and this one has this and this one has that. And this one. Yeah. I mean, the fact that Annie Hall won and it was a comedy.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a question I've got for you, Dave.
But it was a groundbreaking comedy. It wasn't just a comedy.
Understood. It's a groundbreaking comedy. Yeah. I have a question that you might not be able to answer in that book. Since Annie Hall, has there ever been a comedy to win for Best Picture? Ever? Can you think of any comedy winning Best Picture? Not a film that's just got some funny in it.
Yeah.
But like, because Annie Hall, when you think like, what's Annie Hall? It's a comedy. Like, Annie Hall is just a straight out comedy, for sure.
Yeah.
It's got some dark stuff in it, but it's definitely a comedy. I ask you that, gentle listeners.
Kramer versus Kramer.
There were some funny scenes in that.
It's not a comedy.
No. The ice cream scene's pretty funny.
The other films that were up that year were Annie Hall, The Goodbye Girl. Remember when they made movies like The Goodbye Girl?
Yeah, they just let, it seems like Richard Dreyfuss just go on and on and on. By the way, Richard Dreyfuss sure made a career out of being an asshole in a lot of movies, eh? And then and then that all dried up. And then people went, I don't want him to be an asshole anymore. But like, he was an asshole in everything. Like in Jaws, he's a real asshole.
Yeah.
And in Goodbye Girl, he's a real asshole. And in Close Encounters, he's a huge asshole. And yet he's the character we're supposed to go, oh, I relate to that guy. Good for him.
Yeah.
It's Did weird people that... just have low self-esteem back then? And we're like, I can relate to the jerk?
It's just weird that Richard, he won Best Actor for The Goodbye Girl that year.
It was weird.
But he wasn't nominated for his role in Close Encounters that year. Like, that's a better movie and a better acting job.
Better jerk.
I don't think he's a jerk. Well, I guess he's a
bit, he's a
bit of an obsessed
no,
jerk.
No, he's a film, jerk. Yeah.
But he has a reason.
Dave, you abandon your family to go into space and have a space romp?
Other movies.
You're a jerk.
Other movies. Julia.
Okay.
Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And The Turning Point.
I don't know The Turning Point.
It was a ballet movie. And I think,
see, what are you going to do? How do you put Star Wars up against a ballet movie? You know what's going to happen? Now Annie Hall's going to win. That's crazy. It's nice to have that much variety.
See, Diane Keaton won an Oscar for her role in Annie Hall.
She should.
She should. Indeed, you're right. And, yep, Woody Allen won his best director. I mean, that's a groundbreaking film. Okay, I'm going to say one more year, and then we'll stop.
All right.
I want to go back a little farther.
Okay.
Because you're not. I'm going to go back to 69, because it's the sexiest year. No, I just kind of feel it's sort of a when times are sort of changing. We're sort of moving out of the studio era. You think.
Dave, don't scold me for laughing at 69.
But I have a feeling. Oh, no, I was right. So the winner that year, it's sort of a cowboy movie, but it takes place in New York.
Oh, the one with John Voight?
Yeah.
And Dustin Hoffman?
That's right. Yeah. It's so called Midnight Cowboy.
So is
that's
that right. The only X-rated movie to have won
I
an
believe
Oscar
that's,
for Best Picture?
I believe that's for sure, yeah. But did that movie really deserve an X rating? No, it didn't.
Well, what counts as an X rating? What makes a movie X-rated? Is it language? Because it wasn't nudity.
Yeah, I think it's a...
You didn't see any Wang in that film, did you?
I think there is. Isn't there that sort of sex scene in it? The kind of the orgy party?
The orgy party? Did you see something in there?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I think there's some stuff happening. For the time, it was challenging.
Okay.
All right, so other movies that year? I like Midnight Cowboy a lot. I wouldn't disagree with Midnight Cowboy. Other movies that year were... Anne of the Thousand Days, which I've never heard of in my life.
I thought it was like about 250 days too long.
Yeah. Okay. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Just saw that for the first time a couple of weeks ago.
Another really good film.
Yeah.
Hello, Dolly.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance film. Sorry, was that, again, I think I might have asked you this. Was that before or after?
It's after Butch Cassidy and, or after Bonnie and Clyde.
Okay. Yeah, it's a nicer Bonnie and Clyde. They're not jerks. You know who that film needed? That needed Richard Dreyfuss. Jerk it up a bit.
Mm-hmm. And the last film, Zed, the Greek director. I can't remember. Or no, is he Greek or is he? Or, nah, I can't remember.
The Americans call that film Z, Dave.
Whatever. They're wrong. But you know who won for Best Actor? See, it's kind of funny. Like, Midnight Cowboy wins. That's a real nod. See, that's a United Artists film.
Yeah.
That's a nod to changing times, right?
Now, like, would Dustin Hoffman have been supporting actor in that?
He would have been supporting actor, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, I give him that for Best Supporting Actor. That was a very full character. And he even dies, which you...
But he did not win for supporting actor.
Was he nominated?
He was nominated. Actually, he was nominated for Best Actor for that movie.
All right. Was he up against Voight?
Yes.
That's a tough one. That's a real vote splitter there.
That's a vote splitter, and that shows a problem with the studio. Because the studio or the production company should be sending in the nominations and splitting them in some way so that they can avoid that kind of conflict.
Yeah, that's no good.
So Best Supporting Actor that year was John Wayne for True Grit.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of a, you know, you've good service. That's a good service award.
Mm-hmm.
Maggie Smith won for The Prime of Miss Jean Brody.
Mm-hmm.
Best Supporting Actor, Gig Young, for They Shoot Horses, Don't They?
Right. Now, by the way, do they shoot horses?
The film, they don't shoot them at all in that movie.
Well, I guess they don't shoot horses. The question is asked.
Have you ever seen that film?
No.
It's about, like,
I was worried they shot horses in it.
It's about old marathon dancing where people would dance until they dropped.
Oh, okay. It's not a film about people filming horses. Because that would be another way to shoot a horse.
This was the year that Jack Nicholson got his first Oscar nomination for Easy Rider.
Okay.
For his Best Supporting Actor, but he did not win. Best Supporting Actress, who won that year, is Goldie Hawn, won for Cactus Flower.
I'm glad to hear she won one. Good for her.
Yeah, I've never seen that movie, though.
No.
And then John Schlesinger won for Midnight Cowboy.
Now, Dad, what am I calling you that?
Because my initials are David Andrew Dedrick.
All right, now let's go through the Best Picture nominees since 77 and see if any comedies have won.
Okay.
So 77, the winner is Annie Hall.
Yep.
78 is a war movie. It's a dark war movie. I mentioned it earlier on in the show. It's a dark war movie. When I went, you know, there's Apocalypse Now, and there's also this other movie that's even darker.
Oh, sorry. I know what the one you're talking about. The Deer Hunter.
The Deer Hunter. Yeah, that's right.
That is it.
Not really a comedy. Then Kramer versus Kramer, as we mentioned.
See, Apocalypse Now came out after The Deer Hunter. If it had gone according to plan, because it was a four-year shoot, it should have come out before Coming Home. And before The Deer Hunter, like, it should have been anticipating those films. But instead, there is, like, the Coming Home from the war movie, that one, Rolling Thunder. Do you know that one with William Devane?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. And it's kind of a cheesy, you know, but it was sort of made on the cheap in order to kind of exploit this kind of taste for these sort of films. But anyway, okay, so...
All right, then we're getting to 1980, and the winner there was a film that people would... It's not extraordinary, it's a little bland.
Ordinary People,
There you go.
Which is a weird one, because, once again, there was a way better film that year that should have won.
And okay, I'm curious what you think. Was it Coal Miner's Daughter?
Nope.
Elephant Man? Raging Bull? Or Tess?
Raging Bull.
All right, fair enough. You like a little De Niro. That's what I...
Come on, those movies are great.
Okay, then we go Chariots of Fire, not a comedy. Gandhi, in no way a comedy. Terms of Endearment, not a comedy. Amadeus, Funny Moments, not a comedy.
Not really.
Out of Africa, sure not a comedy. Platoon, if you're a sick fuck, it's a comedy, but it's not really a comedy. The Last Emperor. Good for Christian Bale. You know, being in that film. Good for him.
Isn't it The Last Emperor? I think you're mixing that up with the one he did, now I can't think of the name of it, the war film where he's in a Japanese internment camp.
No, Christian Bale, when he's a little kid, he plays the little kid in The Last Emperor, doesn't he?
No.
Isn't he The Last Emperor?
No.
Dave?
They're Chinese people.
Dave, wait a second.
You think you're going back in time to the days when they would do that heavy eye makeup and put a Jewish person in as
My God, could I have been more wrong? What am I thinking with Christian Bale?
Because you're thinking of that one, this is a Steven Spielberg film.
Yeah, that's it.
That's based on the J.G. Ballard book.
Empire of the Rising Sun?
That's Empire of the Sun.
There we go. Rain Man.
I can remember everything but the title.
Rain Man. Nope. Driving Miss Daisy. Funny Moments, but nope.
Rain Man is kind of a comedy, isn't it? I'd say that's the most comedy of the ones you've mentioned so far.
Okay.
But you don't think it's a comedy?
Well, you load it up with a guy who's got a disorder.
But it's played for laughs.
There was a lot that is played for laughs, but would you call Rain Man a comedy?
Okay.
Hey, Rain Man's on. Oh, that's my favorite comedy. Dances with... Okay, here's the thing. There's comedy category that year. It's all the different comedies, and then Rain Man's there. Do you go, take it out of there?
You're right. You're right.
Okay, Dances with Wolves, right. Silence of the Lambs. Pretty
hilarious.
Funny. That's right. Everything's funny when you tuck your penis between your legs and pretend to be a lady and dance. That's just funny.
I did that when I was a kid.
Of course you did.
Got a lot of laughs.
Sure. Where were you doing that?
When I was a kid.
Okay. Don't do that at your new job. Unforgiven.
Good film.
Which was nice because I knew one of the women who played the prostitute. She got thanked at the Oscars by Clint Eastwood. Schindler's List.
Nice of him.
Mm. Oh, this one possibly. Possibly. Forrest Gump.
That's that was a terrible film that should not have won.
It's a terrible film.
What year was that?
It's not necessarily a terrible film. But it's that was 94. You know what? I'm going to give that a comedy. I'd say that's a comedy. And it was up against...
No, it's a drama.
It's a drama?
I mean, it has How comedy elements.
How soon before the laughs come in that film?
But it's got the lady with, you know... like because it has
he
that
has
whole...
to pee in front of Kennedy serious... and stuff.
Yeah. I mean, there's parts that are played for laughs. And but then, I think overall...
Then we throw some war into it. And
yeah, it's got
it
the
sad.
War. It's got his girlfriend with all her problems.
Braveheart, English Patient, Titanic, Shakespeare in Love. Shakespeare in Love could be considered a romantic comedy. American Beauty. Then we get Gladiator. Really? That one? A Beautiful Mind. Okay. Chicago. My wife hates that movie more than anything in the world.
Do you know what lost to Forrest Gump? Pulp fucking fiction lost to Forrest fucking Gump. That is ridiculous.
Well, both are Americana.
That's ridiculous. I mean, The Shawshank Redemption's better than that. And I don't think it's the greatest film ever, but... Ugh, Forrest Gump.
There's an okay podcast called The Canon where they go through these things and their theory on Shawshank Redemption, because it actually didn't do great when it came out. People weren't big fans of it when it came out, but it then played on cable to death, and it became kind of like...
did like A Wonderful Life.
That's absolutely right. That's what they compared it to, and so you get used to it and go, yeah,
I should be on that show.
You should. You got your own damn podcast. Just make this one work. then it was Lord of the Rings, Return of the King.
Ugh.
Well... You know, it's whatever it is.
I know, it's an achievement award.
It's an achievement award. It was up against Lost in Translation.
Mm, better film.
Okay, but a very different film.
But better. I know, you can subjectively think a film is better than another film.
No, there's such different genres. Again, we're into musical versus, you know, one-man monologue fucking thing. It's like, you can't compare them.
It's better.
No, it's not. Then we got Master and Commander, Far Side of the World, also Mystic River. And Seabiscuit.
That's okay.
Then we had...
Not a great year.
Then Million Dollar Baby. Then Crash.
I don't like that movie.
That's fine. Crash or Million Dollar Baby?
Million Dollar Baby.
Didn't think so. Then The Departed.
Well, you know what? I didn't like when I saw it. I watched it. I didn't watch all of it. I watched most of it again a little while ago, and I understood it more and appreciated it better.
Okay, it seems like you're...
But that's two films that were won by that same writer, the guy who wrote... Million Dollar Baby also wrote Crash.
Oh, interesting. All right. Then we get to 2007, No Country for Old Men.
Good film.
Then we get 2008, Slumdog Millionaire.
Well, No Country for Old Men won it, because it's a good film, it won, but also that was a Lifetime Achievement Award as well for the Coen Brothers.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, they were up against... All right, here's what they were up against. Well, that's not right. Okay, you're up against Atonement. Mm-hmm. Don't really remember that one. Juno, fun but not going to win.
There's a comedy, but it didn't win.
Didn't win, that's right. Mm-hmm. Then you got Michael Clayton. No.
It's an interesting film.
It's an interesting film, but it's not, shouldn't be up there.
You know, if it was the 70s, you would think a lot better of that film.
Then There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Didn't like There Will Be Blood.
It's okay.
Could have won for Best Actor. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. Slumdog Millionaire. You know, it's a good stunt film. It's good. Hurt Locker. You gotta give it to that. What are you going to do? There was a war. And then we get to 2010.
Uh-huh.
The King's Speech.
That's a comedy.
Do you think that's a comedy?
No.
That could actually be considered a comedy.
No.
Then The Artist. Was The Artist a comedy?
Once again, I mean, it has funny elements, but it's also a drama. I mean, it's telling a dramatic story.
Okay, then we go Argo. Funny elements, but not...
Once again, it's telling a dramatic story.
Then 12 Years a Slave. Make a joke and be a jerk. Then we got 2014. And we got your Birdman there. So, which has some funny in as well.
Which, once again, but it's telling a dramatic story.
Yep. And this is where it gets stupid, and we got.
And
like
that's the same thing I'd say about Forrest.
Like 10 movies nominated, and it's ridiculous.
That's the same thing I'd say about Forrest Gump, though, is that it does have humor in it, but it also has serious elements to it, and it's telling a dramatic story, you know. But it's a fantasy. Mm-hmm. It's a fantasy film, so I mean, there are elements that are kind of weird and You know, but it shouldn't have won.
By the way, if you want to see where something really creepy, look up what the sequel to Forrest Gump was going to be about. It's kind of creepy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing.
Because he's really angry. And it's called Forrest Grump.
Sure, let's go with that. Let's go with that. Yep. Anyway, those of you that didn't vote for us in the West Ender thing, I don't blame you. we were back to our listing thing. I'm listing things now.
But it was interesting
because for so long people said our show was listless.
That's right.
Huh?
Woo!
Puns.
Yes.
That's what keeps us
finally
off the charts.
No wonder our show incrementally creeps up in listenership.
Yeah, a couple of creeps creeping up. thanks everyone for listening. Those of you that like buying things online, oh, and so many of you enjoy to buy a thing online. Let me give you a suggestion.
Mm?
Go to sneakydragon.com and click on the
what's that called again?
Sneakydragon.com, and click on the Jerk Store. If you click on the Jerk Store, first of all, you'll probably write us a note going, aw, don't call yourself that. And then secondly, listen, if you feel sorry for us, buy something. That's the best way to feel sorry for us. You'll see a variety of shirts David's designed based on Sneaky Dragon title cards. He does a new title card every week. Sometimes he makes a shirt out of it. Sometimes he does not.
Sometimes they make a real process out of it, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Like last week, the simplest thing I could have done in... I turned
into
Rupert a 2-day
the bear one,
the Dupert the bear, and I turned it into a 2-day long.
There's a couple thing. Of people that wrote in though saying they were delighted to remember Rupert the bear.
Well, it's funny. Before I was sitting down to edit the show, and I was like, "Oh, I'll just listen." I had no idea for what I was going to do. Then I remembered you mentioning Rupert the bear, and I thought, "Oh, I've got a Rupert the bear book. I'll just go in the house and get it." So I went in the house and got it, and just scanned the front
cover.
I had
that same Rupert the bear book. It was given to me by my grandmother and grandfather, and so I remembered it instantly. I was like, "Oh, that." Ah, and it started out.
Yeah, because it's an annual.
And I gave, and then I put on our Facebook page the Rupert the Bear song, which is sang by a lady who came to see a dinner theater show I did once. She was a friend of one of the co-stars on the dinner theater show, and she was like, oh, and she's a very famous singer who constantly, in the middle of her concerts, people will yell, do Rupert the Bear!
Oh, perfect.
And she'll have to do a little bit of Rupert the Bear and then move on.
The weird thing is if you look online, it's officially called, he's officially called Rupert Bear.
Is this like Smokey Bear bullshit?
Well, that's what...
Because Smokey the Bear is Smokey Bear.
Oh, is that right?
Well, it was originally Smokey Bear. Smokey,
yeah,
do you know when Smokey the Bear came in? I think that was Eddie
Nixon.
Albert was singing that song that I put on.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah. And then what's his name? Richard Scarry, did he do that book? Was that what
he did that book after?
Yeah, yeah, and then it was Smokey the Bear. And then the die is cast,
yeah,
and now he's
back.
Smokey the Bear forever.
Once it's a golden book, that's forever.
But his classic name is Smokey Bear.
That's canon. Golden books are canon.
Yeah. And so is the podcast, The Canon. That's also canon.
It's also canon.
Check out other podcasts instead of this one.
So is the old TV detective show Canon.
Absolutely.
It's also canon.
So sorry about how this rambling is going at the end. You know, you've probably left
so
by
are
this
old,
point.
The weapons on ships from a long time ago, they're also canon.
I'm assuming most of you now, something is stopping you from turning this off. I would have. Long before this. But anyway, if you want to talk to us, again, sneakydragon.com is our website. We do have message boards there. We'd love to hear from you.
Mm-hmm.
We will probably respond. If you say, put something on there and you regret it or you've made a technical error, we will take it down for you if you ask us to.
I didn't take it down. I just fixed it.
David will fix it for you.
I fixed it.
He will
it.
Fix your grammar.
Jen accidentally posted all of our website content
and most of our PIN numbers
and our PIN numbers.
I have no idea what she did
and my passwords for my banking and but I was able to I just took all that erased it all and corrected a grammatical mistake.
Yeah, and a picture of David tucked between his legs. Weird from back in the day.
A picture of me tucked between your legs.
Ugh. Oh God. Oh God. What the hell just happened? What the hell just happened? Dave, you could get fired from your job for this.
Is that right?
Kind of nonsense.
Well,
do you have an ethics or morality clause in your contract?
I do. I'm also not supposed to use my cell phone at work.
Oh.
You know one problem with this job? No Wi-Fi. How's that for weird and barbaric?
Yeah, that isn't good.
Yeah,
burn the place down. To the ground. SneakyD at SneakyDriving.com is our, that would be our email. That's what they call it.
That's right.
Oh, boy. Sorry, guys. I really The first two-thirds of the show were pretty good, huh? You're How about fired. That? Or go on Facebook, talk to us, and the sneaky underscore dragon
on
Twitter.
I would say the first 7/8 of the show were good.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, if you remember, we sometimes talk about that show, Right Club. Well, guess what? It's coming back. It's coming back March 30th. That okay. is a Monday. And,
ooh.
Sorry about that.
Some people have to work, you know.
Do they? Just slack off. Call in sick.
Okay.
You know what? Say here's what you say to them. I know the president.
That's right.
So anyway, and the show starts at 8. The show's done by 9:30. You'll be, oh, fine. Be fine. You'll be yeah. fine. Anyway, that's happening at Little Mountain here in Vancouver. We'll put more information about it. But if you want to come see me host a show live, that is happening then. And so March 30th, the idea behind the show is people in the audience dress up as their favorite authors. Dave has done that in the past. We then have some of the funniest people in Vancouver recreate new stories by those authors. And then the authors from the audience can win valuable prizes. So if you dress up as your favorite author, you get in free. If you don't, it's just $5. Come, just relax and watch the show. But if you want, you know, a chance to win prizes and like dressing up, that's yeah. the other way to go.
I lost.
You lost, but you lost to someone you love.
That's true. It took some really... no, that was more outrageous.
You lost to your daughter.
Yeah.
It was nice, actually, because it was... You were Dashiell Hammett.
Yes.
And she was R.L. Stein.
That's right.
Right. And R.L. Stein always has a twist at the end of their stories.
That's right.
And so the twist was, and what you don't know is... She's his daughter, and it was a great da da da, and it all worked thematically. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And also, they would have been mad if you had taken the prize from an adorable young lady. They'd have been like, "Look at that jerk! That guy looks like he's rolling in it. He's in a fancy suit.
Typical dad."
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, hope to see you there for that. And, you know, we're going to be doing...
Me? You hope you see me there?
Sure.
Oh.
And we'll be doing VanCalf at some point in the future as well. We'll yes. tell you more about that.
End of May.
Right. I asked if they wanted a Sneaky Dragon podcast, and they went, oh, we're full. So...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So maybe we'll do one from our desk, and to hell with the world.
That's too bad.
It is too bad. We'll figure something out.
I guess they didn't like us last year.
Nope. Nope. We weren't very good.
It's true. When it's true, it's true.
Here's what I think. I think we just set up at the most popular place there is, next to the hot dog cart.
Yeah, there you
go. We get Mr. Tube Steak to sponsor us, and we just go bananas.
Sure, sure.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. I've been Ian Boothby.
And I've been David Dedrick.
We appreciate your time, especially in these last 15 minutes that were, let's all admit it, pretty fucking rough.
Which, your description of like our links and stuff like that, was that what you're talking about? Or the movie stuff? Because that was fun.
So anyway, everybody, thanks for listening. And please, please don't visit Dave at work.
That's also in the policy. I'm not allowed to have visitors.
Wait a second. This is sounding like worse and worse. Like it was great at the beginning.
It's
and
a
now.
Lot less fun. I'm pretty sure that they don't care. In reality, that's in the manual of employee.
No cell phones at work. No calling for help.
No, you can take emergency calls, but just don't tie up the phones, please. Do your damn job.
Yeah, they're paying you. That makes sense.
I agree with. I don't like when you see people supposed to be working and they're standing around like playing with their phones and stuff. Screw that, buddy.
Exactly. Work. I agree with that, and I'm self-employed. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. We've said our names. We're done.
Yep.
Okay. Put down your phones. Rub your ears. I know it's been a long... Just try and listen to other things. Go out in nature for a while. Listen to some birds.
That's
clear,
right.
Clear all this out.
Well, they say when you're listening to a show, you should occasionally look and stare off into the distance for a while. Just to kind of...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dave does that during the show. It really is creepy. That's when he talks about, I smell juicy fruit. And then I dial 9 and 1, and I'm waiting to dial the... Anyway. That's it. We're done. I'm stopping talking now. Bye, everybody. See you next week.
Goodbye. Am I done?
No, you got another hour.